Central.
Bring it on.
With Dan Malicki.
Oh, it's a good opener. Good morning, Daniel. Or good afternoon.
Good morning. Good afternoon to you. So you got me in there. Yeah, a bit of Pearl Jam. It's a riff to Better Man. So if you're a Pearl Jam fan, that would get you up and going, that opener, the green light on. And I know Addy Vedder, as you well know. We've had a chat about that, and he's fully supportive of harness racing. And we're trying to get him out here with a connection with Ben Studd, with your mate Juddy.
Yeah.
Who knows? One day we might get him to open on Vic Cup night or Hunter Cup night or something like that. What do you reckon?
It's doable. Anything's doable, yeah. Dan. I'll tell you what's doable tomorrow. Indeed. We give ourselves a plug. What are we doing tomorrow, Dan?
We are going to Benalla. We'll be at Benalla tomorrow morning, Benalla Cup Gallops, which should be a lot of fun on air from 10:30 to 1. We'll be there. Nikita Ross is going to join us. We'll have some special guests as well for Benalla Cup Day. And for me, that'll be just the preview before I head off to Kilmore, because it's Kilmore Cup tomorrow night. So it's a big day, and that's only Friday. There's Saturday and Sunday still to come.
I know. Enormous. Hey, who is bringing you to us today?
Lowalong Farm have been terrific supporters, and they are preparing for another bumper breeding season with the announcement of an exciting two-year-old VicBred bonus. Creating incentive to breed and incentive to buy, the unprecedented $400,000 in two-year-old bonuses rewards astute breeders and owners of both sexes and gates, maximising returns on the racetrack and in the sale ring. All foals conceived in the 2022-23 breeding season by Pastor Stephen, Lather Up, Poster Boy, Raging Bull and Yankee Rockstar will be eligible to claim their owner a $100,000 bonus if they win their division of the VicBred Super Series two-year-old final. Lowalong Farms, where quality is our priority. See the stallions, news, video links, social links and more at nrequine.com.au.
Excellent. Hey, Dan, we'll have a look at Tabcorp Park Melton tonight as well, but also Kilmore Cup, of course, tomorrow night. You're going straight from Benalla to the time-honoured Kilmore Cup that's had a lot of kind of iterations over the years, but it's always been a great race, and we're going to have a special replay as well. But first, in order to fund Benalla and then parlay into Kilmore, we need to nail it at Melton tonight.
Indeed we do, and I think we might be able to. Race 4, number 5, Regality. Regality's going really well. She's in good form, and I still think represents that little bit of value at the moment. So race 4, horse number 5, which is Regality, is one of my two best bets. And the other one is the Wolf. Now, the Wolf's always at the door there when things aren't working out too well. So I'm hoping the Wolf works in our favour and hunts down the pack tonight. Race 7, horse number 12. In the quaddy legs, the first leg, race 5 at 7:48, and this is the Ben Studd Standardbreds pace. Numbers 10, Satsmo Strikes, 6, Our Lady Lara, 11, Holy Stars, 2, Halanson, 5, Breathe Easy. Number of chances, 10, 6, 11, 2 and 5. Second leg, 5, Shield Maiden, and 7, Abby, 5 and 7. Third leg, 12, The Wolf. 8, James in Charge, 9, Heavenly Brigade, 12, 8, 9. And the fourth leg, just the two on its own. He's Charlie's Angel in race number 8, 1 out. And the final leg of the quaddy at Melton tonight.
Popular Arm is starting to wear him down, then Brett Eden and further back, Cop Away. Raw 3 turns for home, about 5 metres in front. Here he comes, Popular Arm storming down the outside from Brett Eden. Raw 3, the lead of the back marker, is wearing him down. Raw 3 just in front, Popular Arm has grabbed him now. Then Brett Eden from Capella Court, he takes the lead. Popular Arm close to the line, flying home, Adios Supreme, but Popular Arm wins the cup. Popular Arm has won an enormous...
That's the best scene setter we could possibly have for the Kilmore Cup, because it was the greatest ever winner under the most difficult circumstances. Just remind our listeners, that was one of the most narrow wins of Popular Arm's career, but there's a reason why it was so narrow.
There was. Firstly, he'd won the race the year before off the front mark. He came off a 35-metre handicap. So back in the days when all the big country cups were stand-start. So Poppy's off 35 metres. He was giving away to some top horses. It's a long-distance race. It was over 3,038 metres in those days. And he got checked. Nelly fell at the bell the first time. He got knocked down again the second time round. I remember Vin Knight talking to me about feeling like he was in the boxing ring, because the horse had two standing eight counts. He just got knocked out of the race twice, and he still was able to get up and win. In fact, Vinny sort of said he ended up getting to the front too soon, and the horse was out on his feet at the top of the straight and held off some wonderful horses to win his second Kilmore Cup. So I think that was the day that he reinforced that he'd been the greatest pacer that we had seen, certainly to that stage, maybe still to this day. But it was an amazing win, and it was right in the middle of that run that the Knights had with Distant Thunder and Raging Bull, and they won a couple of others with Amendment and the Unicorn after Vin Knight's passing as well. But I know you love talking about Popular Arm, but that would go down as one of his greatest wins.
I was going to ask you, was it his greatest win?
Possibly. I mean, there's been flashier wins when we've seen him streak away in the Italian Cup and in the Hunter Cup and in a lot of his feature race wins because he had that speed to burn. But here, he showed that he was a fighter as well. He wasn't a sook. What he put up with that day was just quite extraordinary. A mere mortal couldn't do it.
And to think Father Brian Glasheen thought Gamelite was a better horse. Well, we won't get distracted by that. Hey, tell us about
actually, he did beat the first time they ever met. Gamelite beat Popular Arm. It was in the Vic Derby, and Popular Arm actually galloped on that occasion. It was one of the biggest runs you've ever seen, and he ran second to Gamelite. But Gamelite did win feature races at every year of his career. Speaking of Father Brian, we had him on as a guest on Cracking the Codes last week, Matt, and he part owns a horse called Triple Eight. And he was telling us about the horses being set for the Victoria Cup, which is only 2 weeks away from Saturday. He's not even in the market, Triple Eight. I looked up to all the horses in the market on tab up to 100-1, and he's not even in the market. And I thought, I wonder if everything's right. So I rang Greg Sugars, and he assures me Triple Eight is spot on and heading to the Victoria Cup, along with stablemate Better Eclipse. So tab need to put that horse in the market. I'd say he'd be a 20-1 shot, Triple Eight, and I'm nearly certain he's guaranteed to get a run. So he's definitely heading that way for the Vic Cup. Both he and Better Eclipse will likely resume in the Smoking Up Sprint next week.
Must be just some sort of weird oversight there with a horse like Triple Eight. Hey, we'll talk about some other thoughts on Kilmore Cup night, try and find some other winners, but just give us a refresher on the checkered history of the Kilmore Cup. It was transplanted a couple of times on its day of the week schedule, and it was very, very popular at one time. Tell us about the Kilmore Cup.
Well, historically, I don't know if there was a more prestigious race in the state of Victoria. When I was growing up, when I was a kid, it was the race. It and the Inter Dominion were the two races that certainly Victorians wanted to win. The Hunter Cup sort of fluctuated as being a really good race and then not as big a race, and then a lot more was invested into it. What was the Victoria Cup, known as the Winfield Cup for a period? I think it became our Cox Plate race. But the Kilmore Cup had tradition. It was where the passionate people, they wanted to win. There was massive crowds there. It used to be run on the Monday after the Cox Plate, day after the Cox Plate. All thoroughbred racing people would go. It was a half holiday in the town, as it is for most cup meetings at most of the towns across Victoria or Australia, for that matter. And all the big guns, all the Grand Circuit horses would go. It would be the day that the two-year-olds would first step out. There was a lot of stand-start racing, massive crowds, and it sort of dwindled away. The date changed to a Sunday afternoon. It was still pretty good then, but it waned a little bit. And now, not that it's not a good race anymore, but it's a different race to what we remember it. Or those in my sort of vintage and those before me remember it as being one of the most prestigious races in Victoria. And now it's run on the Friday night. Like the night itself is a good night, but it's now a mobile because our state, Victoria, did away with stand starts about 6 or 7 years ago. The list of winners is still outstanding, but it's not quite the Kilmore Cup that we knew and grew up with. And I think a lot of the harness racing participants, the horsey people, would tell you that. It's still a race they want to win.
Yep.
But then again, the Inter Dominion, look where it is as well now. Is it the same Melbourne Cup of harness racing it used to be? In those days, it was. I'm hoping, because it's running Melbourne this year, that it might find its feet again, the Inter Dominion. But they're almost, mythological type races to where they used to be. Maybe that was typical of harness racing in those days. But Kilmore, I think universally across any harness trainer, driver, owner in Victoria, the Kilmore Cup was the race that they wanted to win. 60s, 70s, 80s, and even in the early 90s. And don't get me wrong, they're not going to be disappointed if they win it now, but it's a different race.
Hey, they're milling behind the boxes for the fifth at sale. We might get your best other bets at Kilmore tomorrow night and then give us a quick plug for cracking the codes. Back to Dan Malecki to get his best bets for Kilmore on Kilmore Cup Day and then a little plug for cracking the codes from 6 a.m. on Saturday. Back to you, Dan.
Right, Matt, race number two tomorrow night. I like number eight, He's Ideal. It was very impressive winning first up. So race two, horse number eight. It'll be my best bet at Kilmore tomorrow night. At value, race three, number four, Finn Frost. His figure form looks pretty ordinary, but he's going much better than that, and he will be good odds. So my lucky long shot, if you like, race three, horse number four, and that is Finn Frost. On Cracking the Code Saturday morning, we'll be talking to Ellen Tormey. Ellen's the regular driver of the King of Mildura, Bernie Winkle. Mildura race Saturday night. Bernie Winkle has won 36 races at Mildura, so he's the King of Mildura, even though he's trained just outside of Bendigo. He's in a race against his old foe, Murrinjay Track, who had the previous record of wins at Mildura. He's won 30 races at Mildura. So between those two horses, they have won 66 races at Mildura, which is quite extraordinary. So Ellen Tormey, a special guest, and Peter Lagogiani is a trainer of greyhounds. $1 million chase in Sydney Saturday night. It's been run four times. He's won it twice before, and he's got a runner on Saturday night. The two times he's won it, his dog drew box six. His runner on Saturday night has drawn box seven. Sorry, both have won from box seven, and his runner Saturday night has also drawn box seven. He's hoping lightning will strike three times.
See you tomorrow, my good man.
Look forward to it. I hope you've got a nice cup of percolated coffee for me when I get there.
I'll bring the thermos. Good on you, Dan. Dan Malecki there, and I will see him up at Benalla tomorrow.